Welcome to the Awakened Collective, where we explore the topics of love, spiritual consciousness, and our divine purpose on this planet. Join us as we uncover the truth that our thoughts shape our reality. Welcome to the Awakened Collective. I'm Rick Gregory, and I'm really glad to have you here with us this afternoon. And as always, I want to remind you that you have never been separated from your Creator. You are the divine extension of your Creator's love on this planet, and we have never been separated from one another. If you're feeling separated, it's all in the head. It's the thoughts that create our reality. So we're really glad that you're here today, and we have a very special guest with us. I have Andrew Munro with us today. He is a body, mind, and soul transformation coach with Ascension Leadership Academy, among many other things. But personally and most importantly, Andrew is my son, whom I love very much.
I forgot.
You didn't know that? Well, that was a surprise for our studio guy here, Daniel Anderson. And a big thank you, too, to Daniel Anderson and Audio Alchemy Productions. Yes, Andrew is my son. So I welcome you, Andrew. And before I introduce you and turn this over to you to hear about your story and all that you want to share with us, I do have a story to share. And I know that...
Let's hear it.
So several years ago, before I got sober, Andrew and I had a falling out. And I don't even remember all the details. It was kind of foggy because I was drunk. And Andrew was beginning his sobriety journey or was into his sobriety journey. But what that resulted in was over a year of not speaking with Andrew. And it was really difficult for me. But in that time, I started my sobriety journey. And in sobriety, we work with a sponsor and we go through the steps. And I was at the point in my step work where I was doing my list of people I had harmed, and that was, you know, there were a lot of folks that I had harmed. And then that was step eight, and step nine is making amends. So, not having spoken with Andrew in that length of time, I didn't know how to address it, how to reach out, and I talked to my sponsor about it, and he said, you need to write a letter. So I did that. I wrote a letter. I had my sponsor look at it. He had me change a couple of things because, we say we're sorry. Our kids are used to hearing us say, I'm sorry. And, you know, he said, do you regret what you did? I would use the word regret. And so there were a couple of places I made those changes. And I remember putting that letter in an envelope and sending it out. And I don't know, this is the part that I don't know, Andrew may be able to tell me this, whether you had gotten the letter before this other event happened, but I'm driving down the road one day and I get a text message from Andrew that says, hey, Dad, I just got a call from Tower Loans saying that you're behind on your loan payment. And I was like, oh, my God. I was so angry. I can't even begin to express how angry I was that this was our first interaction in over a year over a loan that they're saying that I'm behind on when I knew I wasn't behind. I had paid that freaking bill every month on time. And I was really, really angry and totally the whole program of AA went out the window and you had making sure that I'm using the principles in all my affairs. And I got on the phone and I called this tower loan place and asked, I'm like, I want to speak to the manager right now. And they get the manager on the phone and I'm like, I want to find out why you called one of my references on my loan being behind when I know that I'm not behind on my loan. I have never been behind on my loan. How dare you call one of my references? So I hear their fingers clicking away on a keyboard in the back. And he says, I don't know. I don't know why we called your reference. It's all up to date. It's been up to date. And I was, again, angry. I said, don't you ever call another reference again. Reach out to me. You have my phone number. I hang up the phone with them and I texted Andrew back and said, I don't know what happened. It's up to date and it's not going to happen again. I'm sorry. And driving a little further and I get a text from Andrew that says, I love you, Dad. And I had to pull over because I was crying. And Then it all hit me that I had just lambasted someone who probably didn't know that the universe was at work. And I had to call them back and get the guy on the phone and apologize. And he's like, you don't need to apologize. It was our error. We made a mistake. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. There was a power greater than you at work in this thing that connected us. And I just tell that story now in my meetings when people are struggling with relationships and they are worried about ever connecting with their kids because there's a lot of broken relationships because of alcoholism and drug abuse. And I get to share that story with them today, and it gives them hope. And so Andrew also handed me this book several years ago called Letting Go by Dr. David Hawkins. And I've talked about it on this podcast. It's also available as one of the books in my reading room under contents books on my webpage at theawakencollective.org. It freaking changed my life. And I went on from that one book, Letting Go, to reading all of his books and about 50 of his seminars that I listen to in my car still to this day. It has been life-changing. So I want to welcome my son. As I said, I love you, Andrew, and I'm so glad you're here. And we want to hear your story and anything you want to share with us on your transformation journey.
Thank you very much, Dad. Thank you for having me. My name is Andrew Monroe, and my vision now at the age of 35 is very clear. My vision is to impact this world on a very deep level to show people and provide a level of healing and transformation that they don't know exist. And very small piece of my story, I mean, I also am a recovering heroin addict. I was in and out of recovery for about 12 years. And that was filled with a lot of darkness as it always is. And there was many times in that 12 years where I shouldn't have survived. There was many times where I was overdosed and luckily came to. There was many times where I crashed cars. And the very last time that set off this length of clean time, which is now over 6.5 years ago from opiates, was me driving on a highway, 70 miles, 75 miles per hour with no seatbelt on. I fell asleep, as what heroin does to people, and crashed into the back end of a car, pushed it off the road. And I remember and reflect back now on a moment in time where my first thought was not, did I injure someone? Did I hurt someone? My first thought was, I can't get arrested. I can't have another charge. I can't get in a cop car. I got to make up excuses, as you do in active addiction. And I didn't even care in that moment whether or not I hurt someone. I could have killed someone. I mean, I pushed a car clear off the road, and that was one of the very few last times that I used. And coming out of that, I went through treatment for, it was probably my fifth or sixth time in a long-term care facility. And that's what jump-started my recovery this time. And the story that my father just shared is, I remember the moment of sending him the email. I had just started yoga teacher training, and it was my first very deep dive into transformation about 6 years ago. And I was just at a space where I didn't know what was what. I didn't know how I was feeling. I didn't know how to do, I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to, my emotions were sporadic. And as a lot of families have, there was some trauma in my family. There was some things that left unhealed. And the only way that I knew in that moment to heal was to give myself some space. So that is where, that message came from in that story. And it was over a year. I don't remember your letter. I do remember that car company or loan company calling me, and I do remember sending that text message, but I don't remember your letter.
I won't tell my sponsor that.
It could be somewhere in boxes of things.
That's fine.
But my yoga teacher training was really the spark of what set me off into transformation, and it has grown ever since to where I am now, again at the age of 35 years old, with a very clear vision of working with people one-on-one and with groups. I've been in an emotional intelligence container in Austin, Texas called ALA, Ascension Leadership Academy, which has catapulted me into the front line of helping people in transformation and facilitating healing on deeper levels they saw available before. And these are people from all walks of life. I'm currently staffing now and I'm working with 8 beautiful students. And I have learned, I mean, just in recent weeks, that this is my calling and this is the direction that I'm going in. And I will continue training with ALA and I will step into a program called Impact and Influence in a few months that will set my track to facilitate trainings within this community and also one day speak on stages. That is something that I have shut down for many, many, many years because the question was always like, I can't do it. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm going to fail. People are going to judge me. People are going to make fun of me. What do I have to say? People aren't going to listen to me. My words are not going to make an impact. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be able to move people the way that I want to move them. And in the past year, I have facilitated trainings as staff in ALA, and I've seen results, right? How do we look at results? Leadership, you look at results. What are you creating in your life? And what are you sourcing? And I've been able to have students that I have very close connections with now. They're actually part of the staffing team now of individuals. Their lives are changed, and I had a pivotal part of that. And that it was just reassurance for me. It's like, Andrew, like, you can do this. You've got this. And that's really where I'm at right now in my journey of stepping into that in a few months and seeing where it takes me.
So when you're working with folks in this transformation journey, do you get into, I mean, I've heard you on the phone calls, get into, you know, what we talk about here, how our thinking affects our reality, how we think, how we speak to ourselves. You know, you've corrected me in the past when I've said things come out of my, don't say that to you, you know, that, you know, like I suck at this or I'm whatever it might be. That how do you get people to, what is the process of having them do that self-examination, that work of looking at themselves? Like what kinds of tools do you give them to help facilitate that?
So the before we work really one-on-one with students, they go through a process called level one, level two, transformation and breakthrough, where groundwork is really laid out. Now I can't specifically discuss the exercises that we do, but it's a triggering environment. You are purposefully triggered to see how you respond because it's all about emotional intelligence. It's all about how we respond to events and looking at the lens that we currently see things through, because however old you are, everything that we have in our brains has been learned. We've been conditioned to believe a certain way up until this very point. And sometimes people will never adjust and never look at their ways of thinking. They're just gung-ho stuck on it. And the people that are like, there's more, this isn't effective for me, this isn't getting me from point A to point C, those are the people, right? People are up to big things that find themselves in ALA. So level one and level two really lays the groundwork. And then level three is spread over 3 months where, as seniors is what we're called, we work one-on-one with students. And it's all about that. It is all about emotional intelligence and shifting the perception, the lens of which we view not only ourselves, but other people. Because, I mean, everything is perception. Everything is perception. You could look at a cell phone on a table and one person could think, oh, I'm going to steal that. Or another person could be like, oh, someone lost their cell phone. Or like someone could think, oh, that's a nice cell phone. I think I'm going to buy one. Like there's just an item on a table could have 200 different perceptions mm-hmm. on why that item is on that table. And people just don't want to look at that. And I didn't want to look at that. You know what I mean? I fought this for 12 years in addiction, not wanting to grow, not wanting to grow up. And for the longest time, I was just like, I wanted to stay the same because that's what was comfortable. And also very uncomfortable at the same time, but I just didn't know what was on the other side. And there was a lot of fear there. So to answer your question, it's directly correlated to how we speak to ourselves because mm-hmm. we have, I mean, I don't know what the statistics are, but we have millions and millions and millions of thoughts every single day. And like, they've done studies where like, it is a very high percentage are negative thoughts.
Over 90, I believe.
Yeah, over 90% of just negative thoughts going on and on and on and on and on. For me, like the number one is that I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm going to fail. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of everything outside of my control. I want to control everything in the past, right? These are all things that I've had the opportunity that I've been blessed to work deeply on in the past year. And let me tell you, I have done every fucking thing under the sun as far as self-growth and development. I've read the books, right? Like you said, David Hawkins changed my life as well. I've had business coaches. I've done all of the plant ceremonies. I've done NA, AA. I've done therapy for years, and I've never seen results yielded from an experience like this. There is nothing in this world that you could compare this to. And now there's emotional intelligence containers all over the United States. ALA is just something that is in Austin, Texas. So it is the container of an emotional intelligence that has existed for decades. And it's a bright flashlight shine on your life in the nooks of crannies that are blind spots. Sometimes we don't even see how we're showing up. So it is very real-time feedback all the time. And if you step into the leadership part of it, which is spread over 3 months, I have 8 students that they have access to me 24/7. So if they call for coaching, I'm their flashlight. I am offering them new perspectives, perceptions, a new lens to look through, like effective behavior versus non-effective behavior. I don't like negative and positive, because it's, what's to say something's positive and negative, right? It's effective and non-effective. If a mindset of I'm not worthy is not serving you, it's not effective. It's not going to get me from point A to point B. And if I hadn't spent the year in Austin this past year working on my own worthiness and my own power and my own self-love, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now with like free-falling it. We don't know what we're going to talk about. It's just like 1, 2, 3, let's go and let's figure it out. But I do know, and it's taken me a long time to be very clear on where I'm headed. You know, I have shiny object syndrome. I love to start new projects. I'm passionate about a lot of things, and I've realized that I've started a lot of things and I've poured energy into a lot of things for very short periods of time because they just weren't in alignment with where I was headed. Mm-hmm. And like, lo and behold, here I am, like finally on this path of like, this is what I'm going to do. And like, no one's going to stop me. And it's not a high, it's not a low. It's just neutrality. I just feel at ease that it's like, okay, so this is my alignment. This is flow. This is where I'm headed. This is where I'm going to go.
And that, you know, what you just said rings a bell, because I have done that. And I see that pattern where I have put blood, sweat, and tears into things that I was sure this was the right direction to go in, and only like months later just to see them fizzle out. But that's what we do to find that alignment. You know what I mean? You don't know unless you're checking and adjusting. And it's okay to do that.
Yeah, and we live in a society that says that that's wrong, and that looks at me, or if there's judgment of like, he doesn't know what the F he's doing, he's unclear, he doesn't know where he's going. And we defer people from doing that. And it's like, that's what life is about, is figuring out why.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, the only question is like, what's the purpose?
Right.
What's the reason? Why are you doing what you're doing? So yeah, in the past year, being in this container of feedback and that flashlight, right? Emotions, it's emotional intelligence. It is nervous system regulation 101. So I tried all of the things, and I'm very passionate about life. So everything that I put my hands on, I'm very passionate about. And there's been a few things in the past year that I'd probably have spent hours and hours being like, this is it. This is the thing. Told everyone about it. This is what's going to happen. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Yeah. So like, yeah. For me, I'm even just now in this moment reflecting back on like just being in the stand of curiosity, right? People just aren't in curiosity or possibility anymore these days. People are just, there's no possibility. Nope, can't happen. So, I mean, I in this moment acknowledge myself for staying in curiosity and possibility for this past year, even when people are looking at me like I got 8 heads because I'm starting new businesses and new ventures and then stopping them. I mean, all perfectly has led to this exact moment in time.
That's right.
And feeling deep embodiment of where I'm headed. Mm-hmm.
And people always need to know that, at least from the way I see it, is there's no such thing as failure. I mean, failure is just a learning experience if you allow it to be, you know, what you can learn from it and you move on. You know, and you talked about conditioning and how we can all see something a million different ways. And we talk about that a lot, you know, because our perception is based on our conditioning. And I remember David Hawkins talking in one of his books about, you know, you're driving behind this car and you see someone throw trash out their window in front of you, you know, and all the thoughts that go through your head, that moron, how could they, you know, they're so stupid, how could they do that? And he's like, that judgment that comes up in us is really judgment towards ourselves. But that the fact that you don't know You would have to know that person's entire ancestry and everything that brought them and all the conditioning over eons of time that have brought them to where they are. You don't know their family. You don't know the drug abuse or the addiction, if there is that going on in their family, or other types of abuse or whatever that has conditioned their mind to think the way that they think. Because people behave in the way that they think about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out in their action. I'm sure that you've seen that.
100%.
So, let's see, what else can we talk about since we're winging it? And I know Andrew can't tell me too much when I ask these questions about ALA and what they teach people, because I'm getting ready to go there myself.
Next week.
Yep, starts.
And it's not that it's a secret. It's just, it's exercises that are on the moment. And if you know about them, you're not going to have the same response. So if I were to explain an exercise that you do inside this room, you already have judgment about it. You already know what you're going into and how we're able to coach and how we're able to effectively have communication with students is seeing how you respond in the moment to the exercise, not without any information prior to it. So it's feedback, one-to-one, right? Real-time feedback, mm-hmm. Shine that light. So like, here's this exercise. And again, they can be a little triggering. It's meant to make people uncomfortable so that you can see your blind spots, so that you can see how you show up, because it's how you show up in this container of emotional intelligence is directly correlated to how you show up in life. And you know what I mean? Specifically level three, where how you show up as a team, because you're in a team of people. Where, you know what I mean, level three becomes your life. They're not separate. So like how you show up in level three is how you show up in life. So if you're not playing team in level three, like you're not playing team in life. And it's just a super cool reflection and learning experience just to see. And again, like I said, I've tried many things. I've done all of the things and so many books and podcasts. And it's like there has nothing been so jaw-dropping, like I ran into a brick wall, like, whoa. In my life. Mm-hmm. And this has truly been the deepest level of healing. The amount of content that I have in my body this right now in this moment is unparalleled. The fact that I'm a little nervous to get on this podcast. We had no idea what we were going to talk about. We were just winging it. But like at the end of the day, like I love myself today. I know that I'm worthy. I know that, you know what I mean? I stand in my power. I know, you know what I mean? Like an A with shortcomings, aware of like, where I still have non-effective communication happening in my brain. I know that sometimes, and probably for the rest of my life, when I go to start a new thing or a new task or continue to up-level, because this journey of transformation is realizing that there's no end point, right? The end point is when we die, is that there's going to continuously be opportunity for grow and opportunity to be uncomfortable, and where that conversation in my head is absolutely going to come back in that says, Andrew, you're not worthy. And like, because of this work and because of consistent and disciplined action, I don't have to react to it. And mm-hmm. I can respond from a place of neutrality and love and ease and flow and not dis-ease and discontent and reaction, where of the past I would have reacted. And you run away, right? Fight or flight or freeze, mm-hmm. all of those fear responses that we have. We all have a response to fear.
Yeah.
And today, because of this work, it doesn't stop me. I'm able to see it, to acknowledge it, to love it, and continue moving through it.
Right.
And the reason, I mean, so many people just, we hit walls or hit barriers and we just say, that's it, we give up. And if talking about David Hawkins, David Hawkins with frequency, and it's, I love David Hawkins because he's the perfect balance between science and woo-woo, right? So he's the perfect balance between, you know what I mean, spirituality and like hard facts. So like his knowledge on levels of consciousness is all stuff that has been measured. It's not just, I've created this scale from 0 to 1,000, which is enlightenment. Like, go me, you know what I mean? Believe this. It's not just like, believe it. It's been tested. It's been muscle tested. So if we look at healing and we look at, and then all of the thoughts that coming to my head is like all of the songs about like love, like Beatles, all you need is love. And it's like, people are like, that's naive, or love conquers all. And it's like, you're missing the point. It's not love and the act of love. It's the energy of love, which a frequency that can be calibrated at 540 and has been tested to, you know what I mean, be able to
heal.
Heal. So it's like you're a person that's vibrating at a higher frequency, 540, your impact is larger. Yep. Your frequency of energy around you, I mean, you look at greats, like you look at Buddha, you look at Jesus Christ, whoever your God or your universe or your source is, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, these are all individuals that have just had a heightened sense of energy and a higher frequency that they have been able to create the impacts that they have. So if people just got like the point of like, it is just... you just get to elevate yourself and your frequency. And the only way to do that is to, you know what I mean, remove non-effective emotions and not store them, mm-hmm. like guilt, shame, fear, anger, we hold on to. And love is not available in that space. So when people actually decide to do the very uncomfortable work of digging deep and looking at trauma and not just, you know what I mean, brushing it over, and that's removed from the body, can love be present? Can peace, can neutrality, can, you know what I mean, every higher frequency all the way up into enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. And that scale that you talk about, and that's actually the map of the level of consciousness of David Hawkins, and he talks about it in a lot of his books, but that scale from 0 to 1,000, 1,000 being your avatars like Krishna and Christ, who were at 1,000 on this earth, and 0, the lowest, being shame, and working your, you know, how you can work from your way up from shame and guilt and anger and then apathy and all the way up to that place of love. I mean, not too many people get up to the places of avatars, but it's profound to me because, you know, when you look at what shame does and how shame kept me in this dark place, and yet I was in an environment, living in an environment of shame, which is what religion can tend to do, keep people in a place of shame that you're not worthy, and if it weren't for God, you would be mush. Mm-hmm. And yet, the way I see it today, which is profound for me, is that I am a creation of God. Just like you can no more remove my DNA from you, I am God. You know, yeah. The only difference between me and God is that God created me. I didn't create God. But God is carried in me and in us, and it's recognizing that. I mean, that helped my thinking change, do a 180. And then he would mention other authors in his books, and I would go and get their books and read them. And the craziest thing is you read these books and they were written in, you know, 1920 something or 1935. I mean, this stuff has been out there
for a while. I mean, containers of emotional intelligence have been around for decades. It's not something to it. And what people fail to realize, like back to like how we talk to ourselves and speak to others, like, and you like the trash, throwing out the trash out the window, and like how we're so quick to judge people. People don't even realize that when you tap into judgment, you are tapping into guilt and shame,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is a frequency that is automatically going to bring you down. And every single time you say shoulda, coulda, woulda, I should have done this, I could have done that, I would have done this, you're tapping into guilt and shame. It's basically saying that the decision that you made was not good enough. So people are just, you get to be hyper-focused on the way that you speak, the way that you think. That's the only way to get to the other side. It's not, there's no quick fix. There's no pill. There's no shot. This, you know what I mean, in a world consumed with quick fixes, can I just take this pill and make it all better? No, you got to do the work, and you got to do it every single day, and you got to get really uncomfortable. I mean, I've gotten really uncomfortable in the past year, and I've faced things, I've shattered my ego time and time and time and time again. And like, it's been a very, it's not a comfortable journey. Change is not comfortable. Transformation is not comfortable. But if you're looking for transformation, you can't have comfort. They don't exist in the same realm. They can't exist, because if you have comfort, you don't have transformation and you don't have growth. So it's so such small things, that the way that we speak or the way that we think or how we're so quick to react into judgment, that keep us trapped in guilt and shame and fear and anger. I mean, if I was keeping myself in guilt and shame, like my vision of where I'm going right now would never happen. And in stepping into and embodying where I'm going, I mean, again, recently in the past couple weeks, and in setting this as my goal of taking this course, Impact and Influence, and stepping on stages and facilitating trainings, I mean, I've had judgment flying at me, and I've had the awareness of, if I were to stay in my perception and the lens of who I was as an active heroin addict who would lie, cheat, and steal from any single person that I come in contact with, if you left your purse close enough to me, I could guarantee you that I'm going to try to find something in it, right? If I judged myself through that lens, through that perception, through that mindset, I wouldn't go anywhere. I would remain still. I would remain frozen. I would remain sick. I would never fulfill the vision. I would never create the impact that I know that I'm destined to create. So it's not even about me. That's the best part. It's getting to the point where like you realize that it's not even about me. I know that I am universe, I am source, I am God, I'm a piece. So removing myself from the equation makes it so much easier because like I now know that like, you know what I mean? I'm just here to be a voice. I'm here to be a conduit of energy to promote and provide some healing in this world that it crucially needs and to raise the frequency of the earth because the power of love, you know what I mean? And higher has the capacity to outweigh hundreds of thousands of people that are living in guilt, shame, and fear.
And I know that there are probably folks listening to this when you hear someone say, I am God. You know, that God lives in me and therefore I am God. I just didn't create God.
But people think you're delusional.
Yes, or a heretic. And I heard something this week that said, you know, we deify the lighthouse at the price of the light. Think about that for a minute. We deify, we lift up the lighthouse and forget about the light. And I often relate that to Jesus because Jesus came as a man, never asked to be worshiped. You know, he was a teacher. He embodied the fullness of God, but taught the truth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he pointed to the way, to the truth. And it's like following the teaching and not deifying or pedestalizing a human being, a form, but the truth that he taught. And, you know, and that reminds me of a verse that says it was for freedom that we were set free. And I used to think, well, duh. I mean, but how many people, the prison doors open, but we stay in the prison? Mm-hmm. Because like you said, that's what we're comfortable with. That's what we know. And it takes action. And I also thought about when you were sharing about in AA, where we talk about we act ourselves into right thinking. You know, that's kind of what you were saying.
Yeah. And I mean, just like Jesus Christ, the same story with Buddha. Mm-hmm. Buddha didn't want to be Buddha. Buddha didn't want to be this deity. He just... You know what I mean, the stories is just to share the teachings. Like you tap into the universal source of knowledge that we all have, that we all have access to tap into. And he was just fully tapped in. And he's like, ooh, I'm going to share this stuff. And because it was so above his audience, it was, we're going to make him a god. We're going to make him a deity. He's amazing. He's great. And we do that with speakers of our time, we do that with singer, we put people on pedestals, but if you really break it down, everyone's just a human. We're all just having we're all spiritual beings having a human experience, mm-hmm. and we put people on pedestals and then we compare and compare and compare and compare, and then there we go back into guilt and shame and we remain stuck and we never change anything mm-hmm. about our lives, and then we play victim and we blame everybody else. Yeah. And then you can't have you mean victim and responsibility can't exist in the same sentence either. And people think that they can, and that is a common misconception. You can't be in 100% personal responsibility and also be victim. It can't happen.
That is true.
So people want to blame their past, their conditioning for the way that they are. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to put blame on it. You can say, I have been conditioned to believe such and such. Moving forward, I'm going to be in committed action to change that conditioning. If you're like, oh, I'm just an asshole because that's the way that I was raised, so be it, right? Like that's not contributing to healing. Mm-hmm. That is...
I mean, the greatest example, speaking of Jesus, that he gave was that he transcended every human limitation.
Yeah, which is levels of consciousness. Yes. David Hawkins, transcending levels of consciousness, raising your frequency, raising your vibration. And like, I have no desire to get to enlightenment. I mean, you get into David Hawkins' books and you get into other books about enlightenment. Like you get to a point where like you can't exist around humans because you're just how your mind works. Like you make no sense to people. Like people can't even comprehend your energy and your being. So that's not necessarily what I want, but you know what I mean? To hang out in love and neutrality and that, you know what I mean? That's where I choose to be today. And because I choose that energy every single day and every single action I've put in the work, you know what I mean? I have found self-love in myself. I have found worthiness in myself. I have found everything within myself that I've been searching outside of myself for years and years and years and years and years. And I thought for 12 years that I found it in heroin.
Yep. And what we put out comes back to us, you know? So, I mean, when we put out that love and we put out that kindness, it all comes back to us. And going back to the heroin, you know, Dr. Hawkins talks about that. He says, you know, it's almost like we do have a spiritual hole in us, and we're looking to feel different. And we find these things on the outside, these external things like alcohol and drugs. And we feel like, wow, this is utopia. This is satisfying that longing that's in there. And then we get hooked on it only to realize that wasn't it. But then because we've looked out, you know, we look out there for the solution. We go out there and we try to find the solution. And so we think that alcohol and drugs that are external to us are going to solve our problem.
Well, it's a false transcendence. It's a, you know what I mean? We take drugs and alcohol and we feel, right, when you're an addict or an alcoholic, we feel like we're elevated. It's a false sense of like we're doing good. So like for me, like heroin, like there were times where I was like, right, this is the answer. This is what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life, because it was this false sense of like elevation, right? Because it is. I mean, people, you know what I mean? Whether it's plant medicine, ayahuasca, mushrooms, right? People take that because it, you know what I mean, it taps them into a higher level of consciousness. But that doesn't last. And if you don't have the foundation to withstand on, like you're what I mean, it's just another crutch, it's just another tool, it's just another being looking for a quick fix.
And Hawkins says it doesn't actually take you to that level of consciousness. It's all it's doing is suppressing the lower levels of consciousness. Yep. And you're actually experiencing what's innate, what's in you already.
Yep.
You know, and it's just that you've found it in a substance that now has found you and has got a hold of you. But there is a way to experience and live in that place if you do the work of dealing with those lower frequencies, like you said, those lower levels of consciousness, the guilt, the shame, the fear, the anger. And you do that work. And when you've done that work, then you can exist in those higher levels of consciousness.
And it's peaceful. Mm. The level of ease. I mean, I would pay $1 million for this training that I did a year ago. For again, the level of contentment that I feel in my body and the level of ease that I can just float around this world. Like I don't live in fear. I don't walk into a space and I no longer think like, oh, these people are looking at me, they're judging me. Like that doesn't happen anymore in my head, in my space. So like that energy, like what I can do with that free energy that's there, it's like I get to create, I get to be in vision. And if I was in judgment, I wouldn't be following this path. And I know that this isn't going to be an easy path. I know that I'm going to have my challenges and I've already had them, right? You step into something and you get judgment all over the place. Yeah. You shouldn't be doing that. You can't do that. You know what I mean? From close people, friends, loved ones that are just like
triggered.
What are you triggered? Everyone's triggered. Everyone is triggered right now that I created a GoFundMe to get me to impact and influence. Everyone is triggered. And you know what? That's not my problem, because the perception, again, perception that they're looking at is me as a heroin addict where I did some effed up shit. Yeah. I did some, you know what I mean?
People get stuck. They get stuck there, and that's, I get it.
But that's not who I am today, so who cares?
It's not who I am either. It's not. And you know, I'm going to this Ascension Leadership Academy, so just go right along with what we're talking about. You know, the thoughts that I'm having are my conditioning, my experience, projecting my past onto my present. You know, well, this is just another self-help thing. Is this just you know, so all of those things, it happens to all of us because that's all we have to go on until we recognize that that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And you can't judge the present moment from the past. If you judge from even your thinking,
or you stay there.
My thinking a week ago, if I stayed in that thinking, I wouldn't be on this podcast. Mm-hmm. My thinking a week ago, I would not be standing in vision and announcing on this podcast what I'm up to, even a week ago. So if I continue to judge myself based on my past and where my mindset was there, I'm dead. Yeah. Like, what's the point? What's the point of even doing anything? Like, I just might as well just sit in fear and guilt and shame and like, no thanks. That's not what I'm choosing today. I'm not choosing a life. I spent enough of my life in dis-ease to, in darkness, right? To know light, you get to see darkness and vice versa. So like, I own it. People are even, I've had people frazzled that I'm getting online talking about addiction. I'm like, we're in 2024. Everyone's addicted to something.
Yeah.
And there's, you know what I mean? There's so much talk about it. So like the fact that people get triggered by the fact that I'm talking about addiction, like is mind baffling to me. It's like, it's everywhere. So it's like, do you want me to not talk about addiction? Right. I'm here to also be the voice of people that were I've been gone too soon. I mean, I remember a time in my addictive 12 years that like there was a wake every month for people that I knew. So it's like, do you want me to not talk about it so that I can't impact lives, like just let people suffer? Like, that's not what I'm choosing to do. If you do not want to be of service to others, you don't have to be, that's your choice. But I have committed to be a selfless servant leader to people so that they can experience what I'm feeling in my body right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And I will stop at nothing to achieve that. So have judgment. It empowers me more. Just like, let's go.
You want everybody to have it. That's what I mean. That's why it is selfless. It's like, this isn't just for me.
You know, it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
That's the best part. This has nothing to do with me whatsoever. And it has everything to do with it. You know what I mean? Impact in this world and creating some healing. Cause I mean, this world, I'm not going to get into all of that today. Cause that'll be another 2-hour conversation, but this world is hurting. This world is in anger. This world is in guilt. This world is in shame. Mm-hmm. And that type of energy wants to, you know what I mean, take everything down with it. So it just multiplies and multiplies. So what this takes is, I mean, I can't do this alone, right? There's always support required in anything that we do, right? We're God. Like it's we're all one, right? Mm-hmm. We're all connected. And if you think that we're not, like, I would say you're delusional.
Yep. And what anyone does, and Hawkins talks about this, you know, we look at the massive problems in the world and we think, oh, we can't make a difference. How can we make a difference with all of this? And he would talk about the fact you could have one person in a cave who's has elevated consciousness, that the energy that they're putting out is affecting thousands of other people, that there's a person on the other part of the country that's making a decision to not commit suicide because of the energy that's being put out in this part of the world over here by these individuals. So just a handful of people, that it's exponential in its effect, the impact that they have in the world by just working on themselves and elevating their own consciousness and being in places of love that are affecting lives all over the world.
And unfortunately, not enough people want to do the work. Not enough people want to take a deep dive into their subconscious in those dark areas of their minds and their bodies. People don't want to. I mean, it's effort. It's work. It is uncomfortable. It is not always easy. But the other side of it, I would do it again. I would do it again and again. And I mean, I am. I mean, transformation. If you decide that you want to transform in every single way, like you decide that like this is a lifelong journey. This isn't, there's no arrival point, right? We're addicted to quick fixes and we're addicted to checking off a box and getting to the end point. And like, there's no end point in living a fulfilled life and elevating your frequency. The end point is when you die, right? That's it. That's the end point for me. There's no end point. There's no, I've arrived, right? There's no like, I'm going to hit 540 and be in love frequency. And like, that's it. I'm done. And I'm going to start working on myself. It's like when you step into the arena of transformation, you have signed on to a lifelong journey of always up leveling yourself at each and every twist and turn, because there's always a gap. There's always more that you can shift and that you can learn and grow. And the gap is a beautiful thing to celebrate. Yep. Always knowing that there's space to grow more in a healthy way. Right? It's the most beautiful. This past year has been one of the most beautiful times of my life. Probably one of the most uncomfortable, but also the most loving and supported and growth transformations I've ever had.
That's awesome. Awesome, Andrew. So how do people get in touch with you? You can put up his splash screen.
You can find me easiest way. All can be collectively found on Instagram. @AndrewMonroe_. You can find everything there. You can also find, if you listen to this and want to support me, you can click on the links in my profile. Like I said, I started that GoFundMe account to trigger the world into me stepping on stages. And part of that is, again, doing this program called Impact and Influence. And asking for the other cool part is, again, it's not even about me. The asking for support in this way and creating this GoFundMe, which, mind you, was not an easy task. It was very uncomfortable. I'm like, I judged people in the past who created GoFundMes. I did. I will own it. I will be honest. But in this experience, I'm learning that there's a lot of money stories and money healing that I'm being able to address in doing so. And just a lot of stories that I've told myself about asking for support. So I'm going to continue to do so. So, yeah.
We learned how to ask for help in the rooms of recovery as well. And that was never something comfortable for me either, asking for help. And so I'm glad. Well, I just want to mention before we close here is that this Sunday coming, the 28th, we have another couple of special guests, a dear friend of mine, Betsy Martell, and she actually is a friend of Andrew's now too. She has started a webinar with a gentleman by the name of Steve Nachtigalla. And it's called No BS with BS. So Betsy and Steve and the first BS, I'm sure you figured out. So No BS with BS, real talk, real support, real solutions. Betsy's a life coach, a personal trainer, a dedicated advocate for empowered parenting. And Steve has 3 decades of experience as a licensed therapist. They are passionate and funny as heck. And you don't want to miss it. They are helping stay-at-home parents deal with the questions and struggles that are inherent in that role, providing experience, support, and hope. So come check that out on Sunday the 28th, and that will be at 9:30 in the morning. Thank you again to Andrew Monroe. Again, there'll be links here for you to reach out and support. Love you. I'm so glad that you were here.
I love you too. Thank you.
And if you want to reach out to me, you can reach us at our website at theawakencollective.org. All of our links are out there, everything you could ever want to know about us, including ways to reach out via email. Don't forget, we are one. We are connected. You have never been separated from your Creator. Thanks for being with us here. And until next time, my friends, love and kindness always. Thank you.